48, Brother Phillips, now did tell me just what all he did do with this. That's the only thing, he didn't read all the scripture, so let's get that first thing. Keep your loins girded and your lamps burning. And in the armor that we are to have, what did they say to be girded with?
Truth.
Girded with the truth. All right. Keep your loins girded and your lamps burning. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my pathway. Be yourselves like men who are waiting for their master to return home from the marriage feast, so that when he shall return from the wedding and comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are those servants whom the master finds awake and alert and watching when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will gird himself and have them recline at a table, and will come and serve them. If he come in the second watch, that is before midnight, or the third watch after midnight, and finds them so, blessed, that word blessed simply means happy, fortunate, and to be envied, are those servants. But of this be assured, that if the householder had known at what time the burglar was coming, he would have been awake and alert and watching, and would not have permitted his house to be dug through and broken open. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour and a moment when you do not anticipate it. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all alike? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful steward? The wise man whom his master will set over those in his household service to supply them their allowance of food and at the appointed time. Blessed, that is happy, and to be envied, is that servant whom his master finds so doing when he arrives. Truly, I tell you, he will set him in charge over all his possessions. But if that servant say in his heart, my master is late in coming, and begins to strike the men servants and the maids and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come in a day when he does not expect him and at an hour of which he does not know, and will punish him and cut him off and assign him his lot with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act as he would wish him to act shall be beaten with many lashes. But he who did not know and did things worthy of a beating shall be beaten with few lashes. For everyone to whom much is given, of him shall much be required, and of him to whom men entrust much, they will require and demand the more. And references here in the Amplified on that last one is Deuteronomy 25, verses 2 and 3, and Numbers 15, verses 29 and 30. All right. So our author of our text here names this the parable of the watchful servant. Now, there's a pretty good key, I think, right here in verse 41. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us? are for all alike. Now, remember this, when Jesus first began to speak in parables back in Matthew 13, the disciples came and asked him, "Why are you speaking to them in parables?" And Jesus quoted a passage from Isaiah concerning some people who were fat concerning their hearing. They had ear trouble. And so on. They could hear the words, but they didn't have any comprehension. And things like that. Now, the reason they didn't was that they did not use that which they already had. Now, there's two things, among several things right there, that's a good lesson for us right here and now. Remember that what we have, the privileges that are ours, the work we are in, and all of that, is a trust from the Lord. And remembering that it is a trust from the Lord, then whatever measure we have when the Lord calls us, or maybe at many times after a while we realize our call, we need to stop and take stock of ourselves, inventory of ourselves. Am I continuing to build upon that which I knew? Am I continuing to use the opportunities that the Lord has given me? And never actually coming to the point that you think you have pretty well accomplished. I see, brethren, today far more to be done than I saw 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, and especially a whole lot more than needs to be done than I saw 40 years ago. Now, I question this two ways, for two reasons. One is age. The other is deterioration that is common to human bodies. And you say so much that needs to be done, and you've got to begin to back off. But still there is the responsibility to try to do your dead level best, not only to teach, try to do all of these things better today than we did yesterday, and trust the Lord to give students who will take that, and because they're going to live tomorrow and the next day and so on until the Lord comes, some of us are going to sleep before He comes. As you draw near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, if those people who live during that time don't know more than you and I know by experience, there's something wrong with them. And so, I think right here, the Lord said, "Who then is a faithful steward?" You see how He answers this question? So you see now, He's not only... maybe He's not talking so much to the multitude of people as He was back yonder in Matthew 13. Maybe He's talking a whole lot more to preachers right here. The wise man whom his master was set over those in his household service. Oh me, I'm wanting so much. And right at the very thing that I wanted, I didn't get. I got up to verse 18. of the 8th chapter of Romans by D. Martin Jones. And the point is, I'm seeing some possibility of some things that when the heirs come into possession, co-heirs with Jesus Christ, I see something possibilities there that under the last Adam are going to happen that could have happened under the first Adam had he remained true and he was told to tread down the earth, you be king over the earth, you make it yield to you, and so on like that. I see potentialities in the millennium, brethren, that are just absolutely beyond our comprehension now. We take for instance so much has opened up us in this generation since the Adam has been discovered, and they know something about what he's doing and this, that, and the other. And such marvels of Adam. Now, for instance, I think a few days ago, one of the classes, where it was this or the next one, I asked for a prayer for our daughter. A little illustration that humanity hasn't seen anything what they're going to see in time to come. Now listen, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful steward? Steward, one that's put over, the wise man whom his master will set over those in his household service to supply them their allowance of food at the appointed time. Now, I don't know what it is. I hope maybe, if Lord wills, I can find out a little bit more about those people that are resurrected along yonder about the 20th chapter of Revelation, and there are certain ones who are on thrones to judge them. I'd kind of like to know who those are and so on. Okay, let's stop right there, because we'll get on out yonder just a little bit too far, and something might happen to our spaceship and we'll get lost. Okay, now let's get back to what the writer has to say. While this parable in its fullness is peculiar to Luke, other parables move in the same realm. See Matthew 24:25. Jameson says that this portion presents the germ of thought that was afterwards developed into the parable of the 10 virgins. Well, be that as it may, maybe it was, maybe it not, it was. But anyhow, the phrase, the goodman of the house, is identical with that to be found in Matthew 24:43-44. Matthew recorded briefly this parable as our Lord uttered it in the Olivet Prophecy. And brother, there is an area that we need to do some serious study in, because I'm not at all satisfied with what has and some have brought out on that. I think there's a whole lot more involved in it. All right. Matthew recorded briefly this parable as our Lord uttered it in the Olivet Prophecy, says Campbell. Luke used it as our Lord had uttered it in an earlier part of his ministry. The prominent idea in this parable, as in others, is that of preparedness for Christ's coming. Brethren, what is our purpose today in the ministry? You ever just stop and kind of take that apart. What's your purpose? What's your ambition? Now, was in this class sometime or other was noticing something about ambition. Three places Paul brings out how ambitious he was. One time, he was ambitious to preach the gospel in virgin territory, where the name of Jesus had not been before presented, you see. So like that. And then there's two other times he speaks of being ambitious. Now, ambition is a good thing, provided its purpose is the correct purpose. Now, just exactly what is our ambition? I'm talking about each one of us separately. I told you the little story, but I'll really tell it again. Illustrate the point. When Brother J.W. Chestner had finished the present building that Central Baptist Church has in Fort Smith, Arkansas. That was either that I know was the second and probably the third building. Brother Chestner had been on the only pastor that church had ever had from the time it was organized. And a young student from Little Rock up there right as he built this last building, he walked in, he looked around, he said, "Oh boy, wouldn't I like to step into this?" And Brother Chestner said, "You know what you do with it?" He said, "You tear it all to pieces." He said, "You know how long it's taken the bill to get to this point?" "Well, I forget how many years it was, but it was up 20 or above." He told him that it took to get that. And how many, and I do know this, that Brother Chestner was a bricklayer himself. And the first building they built in Fort Smith, he laid every brick in it. I had a helper, odd carrier, so on, bringing the brick and the mortar and so on, and he laid that. But now what he's talking about in this third thing was that you don't just hurriedly grow up real fast, and so on, but real growth may be a slow thing, so to speak, from its original. I guess I mentioned a few things back under early part of my ministry as to what the Lord has done since the little meager, almost totally insignificant starting place on, but what the Lord has done since then is just simply marvelous. But the point is this: somebody had to pay the price, as it were, and get out there and work in the raw new ground. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say new ground? If you ever farmed any timbered country, you had to get out there and you cut the trees down and you have a log rolling, get them all together, and all this, that, and the other. And the first time you went out there to plow that thing, you didn't go out there with a turning plow, and then you went out there with a Georgia stock with a little scooter shovel on it. And you just went down there and hop and skipped the roots and things like that. Then came along and kind of dropped your corn in that and just sort of worked it by hand from there on. Well,
get a wolf.
Right, part of the time you almost turn the tunnel set over on the thing when you get some of those roots. Mm-hmm. And things like that. Well,
I read about all that,
okay. You just read about it. I kind of have a night is a little more than reading about it. All right. Now, the prominent idea in the parable, as in others, is that of preparedness for Christ's coming. All who are members of the household of faith, bond slaves of the master, stewards of the mysteries, the secrets of grace must be found serving each other in things of the divine kingdom, and together living and laboring as unto the King. Now, I think we've seen here that there is a reward that comes in this. Now, somehow, brethren, we've just gotten the idea that there's going to be something different over there in the order that God's going to have, both there and in the eternal ages. Communism here on the, in the world tries to make everybody equal to nothing. And too many times we get the same idea, well, when we all get to heaven, we're all going to be equal in some ways we are. But so far as the order is concerned, there are going to be places that, according to the faithfulness and the price that's paid here and now, are, well, what do we find here? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful steward? The wise man whom his master will set over those in his household servants to supply their allowances of food at the appointed time. Brother, if we could get just a little idea of the order and the operation of that order during the millennium and the place of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the place of the members of that church according to their faithfulness, to their stewardship, each one with whatever the Lord appoints him to do while he's here in this world and in that church and so on, is going to determine something about the place he's going to have over there. Now somebody say, oh boy, would it be wonderful, I'll be there and I'm going to be ahead of somebody, this, that, and the other. No, I don't think we'll have that idea in our minds at all, brethren. I believe if we'll let the Lord make us grateful for each place of service here that we have, and remember that I have it by the very grace of God. When it's come to that time over there, there won't be any boasting done. We'll just have to say, Lord, thank you that somehow, in spite of what I was and the old Adam nature and all this, that, and the other, there were some times when I did do what you told the Philippians to do, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good, of his good will. Okay. Thank you.